Glory be to God. So I want to welcome everyone this morning, and I just want you to listen as the Holy Spirit will speak to you for one or two things that the Lord will help me to be able to deposit this morning in Jesus' name. We are in a season where we are strategizing for success. And I know God that God gives strategies. When God gives strategy, it goes just like this. Your own strategy can travel 10 miles. When God gives his own strategy, it goes just 1 kilometer. And you catch up with everyone who has gone ahead of you. So I pray for someone here this morning that what you have not done since the year started, in the last few weeks remaining, you will catch up. Amen. You will catch up in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So I bring greetings from Household of Faith, Arlington. And I know by God's grace also their services are going on now. We are going to be reading the Bible from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. The Bible says, a man's gift, I'm reading New King James Version. It says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. For you to have success, the most important strategy is for you to identify your gifts. And this morning we are going to be looking at identifying your gifts. Because a lot of us, and these questions I do have is, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm able to do. This is something a lot of people do say. I really don't, you know, I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. I want to do something, but I don't even know if I'm good for anything. If I'm good at anything, this is what we do hear a lot of people saying. And you just see them year in, year out. They are not able to do anything. They are just doing everything. Or even not doing nothing at all. They are doing things that they are not fulfilled at doing. They are doing things that doesn't make them happy. You know, you see them, they are working, but they are frustrated. You know, and you know, it gets to a point in life when you realize that it's not about money. That you need personal fulfillment to be able to get on in life. And that's why it's important for you to be able to identify your gifts. The scripture makes us to understand here that it's a man's gifts that make room for him. In other words, without your gift, there is no room. I want you to understand that. And it says not only will he make room, it says he will bring you before great men. In other words, if you can't identify your gift, you might be around people you are not supposed to be with. You might be operating at a level you are not supposed to be operating. It's difficult to be great when you can identify your gift. I want you to understand that. Proverbs 24, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 24, 4 and 5. I want us to also see that. The Bible says, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. By knowledge. A wise man is strong, yea, a man knowledge increases strength. So you can't go above your knowledge. You can't achieve more than what you know. So you can't really get a lot done without knowing what you are supposed to do. So that's why it becomes so important that knowing your gift will do a lot for you. It becomes so important that if you don't know what you are gifted to do, you can't go too far. You can increase the way you want to increase. You can have the kind of strength you are expected to have. And that's why this preaching this morning can be so important for one or two people. You know, we always believe that what you don't know may not hurt you. And that's true. What you don't know may not hurt you. But what you know will bless you. What you don't know may not hurt you. But surely what you know will end up blessing you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you can only get something out of what you know. Whatever you don't know, you can't get nothing out of it. Now I want to challenge you this morning, because people do say, where do gifts come from? How do I know I'm gifted to do this? How do I know I'm gifted to do that? And the first thing I want you to understand is that your gifts is not far from your parents. Listen, your gifts are not far from your parents. Before you think about what am I good at doing, listen carefully. Think about what was it my parents were doing. What was it that I saw my parents doing? I want you to know that we are actually, we are a product of four things in our life. product of four things. You are product of your parents, product of your environment that you grew up in, product of your education, product of your belief. Does that make sense to you? So if you are going to think about what do I know how to do, in which area am I gifted, I want you to look back. What was it that my parents were doing? And you know, as we grow up, as we get educated, we try to run away from our root and foundation. But I want you to understand that your education does not distance you from who you used to be. Your education is supposed to make you the better of you, supposed to make you the best of who you are, not to take you away from who you are. I want you to understand that whatever your parents did that worked for them, you can do it better because you are educated. Are you getting what I'm saying now? This is something we often overlook. This is something that we really, really overlook. We think that whatever they have done was primitive. Whatever they have done is not relevant. That's because you have not added your education to it. When you add education to it, you take it to another level. Listen carefully. Everything works when you have somebody who works working it out. Everything works when you have somebody who works working it out. Things stop working because the person who is supposed to work it is not working. So think about what was it my parents were doing. And I've seen this now manifesting in the life of people. As you can get the bad habits of your parents, so you can get the good stuff of your parents also. And for so many of us, you grew up seeing your parents trading. You grew up seeing your parents selling this and selling that. What you saw them doing, you can do it and do it better. Did somebody get him in this morning? Where does it come from? It comes from your environment and your upbringing, as I've said. You will discover that there are certain people, they will tell you because they come from certain area, they are farmers. Because some people come from certain areas, you see them that what they do is to trade. There are some cities you go to, and you realize that in that city, everybody is doing the same thing. Because that's the trade that is peculiar to that city. But once we step out of that city, we forget about where we are coming from. We forget about what we grew up seeing people doing in our environment. And I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 to establish this for you to understand that you are not far from your parents. You are not far from your environment. You only need to refine your environment. You can bring your environment to where you are and make it different from where it used to be. The Bible says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, where did it come from? Dwell first in thy grandmother, Louise, and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in thee also. The Apostle Paul was encouraging Timothy here that, look, you are not just who you are. What you see yourself doing did not start from you. It started from your grandmother, it was passed over to your mother, and now it's also in you. And that was when he said, then you go to verse 6. I said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift. Stir it up. Stir it up. In other words, you can kill it. To stir it up means bring it out of the shelf. Reignite it again. It's already in you. You were born with it. You saw your mother doing it. You saw your father doing it. That was what you knew how to do. Why did you let it die? He says, stir up the gift. Because you didn't have to go to school. You didn't to go to school to go and learn it. Your parents grew up you as a carpenter. Who told you cannot be a carpenter? Because you went to school? You were with your parents selling textiles, selling wares when you were growing up. Who told you cannot do it again? Because they come handy. Is somebody listening to me this morning? You just need to stir it up. It's so unfortunate. I saw some people, their parents were very good designer, sewing designers, tailors, and they are stranded, not looking for what to do. So I asked them, I understand your mother was the best tailor. She said, yes. What were you doing then? I wasn't interested. But now the same people sent their clothes to somebody else to sew for them. And you grew up seeing your mother sewing. Is somebody listening now? I want you to understand, there's nothing new under the heaven. Someone was sharing this with me. And she said this, yes, thank God for technology. Thank God for computer. He said, but people are not going to eat computer. After using the computer, they're going to be hungry. And they will need food. He said, it's time for people to now know that they need to go back to the farm and start modern farming. Because after they have used all this computer, they will need to eat. And when I learned that, I now began to, now I'm starting a Saturday school for the teenagers in the church, where they will come every Saturday to teach them how to use modern equipment, to till, to harvest, and to do all these things. Because everybody is not going to end up on the computer. Some people are going to be in the farm. And they are going to go to school, and they are going to be young too. I'm challenging you this morning. Don't overlook anything. Don't think anything is small. That's what God does. He makes something small to become big. There's nothing in the hand of God that is small. Once you put anything in the hand of God, it will magnify it. Are you listening this morning? How do you get all this gift? How do you increase your gift? How do you know what you are gifted in? They come through learning and training. I discovered that now in our time, there's nothing you want to learn that you cannot learn. There's nothing you want to train. You want to train yourself to know or to become that you cannot get the training. You can get a PhD now on YouTube. I'm telling you, if you can be committed to it, you can get a degree by looking at YouTube. Because there's no form of training that is not on YouTube. I was discussing with my friend yesterday. We spoke about becoming a roofing contractor. I got to the room yesterday, and I got all the teaching that I would need on roofing contractor, and I will be licensed. And I figured I could do this in 2 weeks, and I'll be licensed as a roofing contractor. And there's no way you'll be a roofing contractor that you know make $120,000 a year. No way you will not do it. So why are you saying that I don't know what to do? Because you don't want to learn. Are you listening to me this morning? You just have to get the learning cap on. You have to put the learning garment on to know that this is the best time to get knowledge. This is the best time to, you can do whatever you want to do and become whoever you want to become. Listen, Christians, you can change your life in 1 year. You can change your life in just 1 year. If you are determined that next year is going to be a change of destiny for you, you can do it. By making up your mind now that you are going to learn something, train yourself to do something, and plunge into it by next year, you'll be surprised that by end of next year, you are ready to go, you are ready to run with it. Listen, we are prayed enough. We need to start to walk. Walk and pray. You can't be praying without walking. We need to start to do something. Listen, Christians. I was here with Pastor. I asked a guy in our church who was a nurse. I told him we need, because this was something I saw about him. Anytime we're having a function in the church, he always enjoyed grilling. You know, we don't want to roll out the grill and grill for everybody to eat, grill for everybody to just enjoy the barbecue. So I just told him, I said, hey, instead of grilling free for everybody, why don't you do something with this thing? I hope you are following me. And he asked me, what do I do? I said, why don't you go to Africa and learn how to do suya? He said, Pastor, if you said so. And he went for 1 month to learn how to do suya. The first 9 months in business, he sold $84,000. Now he makes about $150,000 a year for selling suya alone. And remember, he was a nurse. He's no longer. He's just trying to keep his license. It does not work as a nurse again. Every time we are writing resume to look for a job, when this is the best country you can ever be in the whole world. Before you came here, you were looking for opportunity to be here. Now you are here. What are you doing with your life? Except you want to go to space. Are you following me this morning? You can train yourself to do anything. Just 1 month training. He came back and it was a different ballgame. I want you to go and change your mindset. You know, I'm believing God when all of us will get it and stop looking for job. Stop looking for a job. And you just look at what is it that I can learn something. What was my parents doing that I can repackage and do better? And I want you to understand, it's not about age. One old woman in our church, elderly woman, because we always talk to them like this, he started rapping pub inside leave. That's all she says now. And she's making money out of it. Just pick something. Pick something. Tell your neighbor, pick something. How do you know what you are supposed to do? What you are gifted at doing? Life experience. Life experience. This is very interesting. A lot of us, when we go through things in life, we don't want people to know about it. We keep quiet. We can't even share our testimonies. But you discover that whatever you have experienced in life, even negatively, they can become a blessing to you. Because there is nothing new under the heaven. Whatever you are going through, somebody else is going through it. Whatever you have been through, somebody else is going through it. And they want to know how God pulled you out of it. They want to know how God helped you through it. They want to know how God used it to move you to where you are. Are you getting what I'm saying? Stop making everything a secret. You can use it. You went through what you went through so that you can use it to encourage others. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why you will see someone who was subject to abuse, who was a victim of abuse, they start a foundation. And before they, you know it, that becomes a full-time job for them. Are you getting what I'm saying now? There is a way you can turn your adversity into blessing. Don't you know that there are so many books in you that people want to read? If you look at how far you have traveled, there are people who are just beginning that journey and they don't know how to travel it. By you documenting it and sharing with people, you'll be surprised how many people you will take out of bondage. Somebody once said this. He said, if you have something to say, there's somebody want to listen. Your experiences is supposed to be a blessing. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and call according to his name. There are so many things you have tried, you have made a tragedy that you have stored them inside of you. And they are destroying instead of you taking them out and making them a blessing. The disaster in your marriage that didn't work can become a blessing to somebody instead of you thinking that God has forsaken me. Don't you know that for you to have a child that has a challenge can make you to begin to take care of children with challenges? Why are you internalizing problem instead of using it to shame the devil? Nothing comes to a believer that God has not programmed for his blessings. So look at your experiences in life. Look at things that you have been through in life. One of the things that gave me passion for people to attend to the need of immigrants in America is because I came here as a student. I was on a student visa. I came to America at the age of 18. I went through a lot of stuff. I was sharing with my friend this morning that I used to go to a Mormon church because they serve cookie and coffee after service. And I wanted that cookie and coffee, so I would be in church. Because when you are a student, you are a foreign student, you always need food. So it didn't matter to me what they were preaching. I just wanted coffee and cookie. And every month, there will be a picnic where we get to eat burger. So as a foreign student, I went through that. Now, Sunday, when students come to our church, they go home with jollof, they go to school with jollof rice. So they look forward to jollof rice on Sunday. Because I used to look forward to cookie and coffee on Sunday. Your experiences can become a blessing. Don't just think that you went through some stuff for nothing. God took you through them because God wants to use them as a pedestal for something great in your life. So I want, when you get home, begin to recount all the things you have been through. Look at some of them that God can use to be a blessing for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I noticed a sister, whenever she goes, everybody is having a function, someone is having an event, all she loves to do is to clean. She will go there and clean. She will be the first, last, she will come late and be the last one to leave, so she'll be able to clean. So I took her on and I said, why do you always like cleaning? Because I realized people, they are product of their environment. Then she told me a story. I don't know, Pastor, I always like to clean. That's what I enjoy doing. But you know, that's what everybody runs away from. But she loves cleaning. She will wait at the end of the party and clean everywhere. That was when she told me her story, how she lived with her senior sister, and she was like a maid with her senior sister. She would eat last. She would cook everybody's food. She would clean the house and do everything. She said, oh, at least I know I can't do anything, but at least I can clean. If I'm useless in anything, I know at least whatever everybody has rejected, which is the cleaning, I can do it. I said, but you can start a maid service. If cleaning is all you know how to do, you can start a maid service. I said, there are people who are busy in America. They are looking for people to take care of their home. Can you hire people, do background check on them, so that at least you can send them to places to go and work on a daily basis? They don't have to live there. 9 to 5, they go there and go back to their homes. Then you start a maid service business. I never thought I could do that. I said that cleaning was not suffering. God was preparing you for something great. Dr. John Maxwell shared this experience. He said he had passed off about 30, 35 years and he was getting tired. You know, he was tired of the people, he was frustrated by the people, and he just wanted to do something different. But he sat down and began to think of, what really do I know how to do? And then he began to think about it. He remembered that when he was growing up, as a young child, that the father used to buy them books to read, and we give gifts to whoever we finish their book first. So John Maxwell said he remembered that he used to read more than all his siblings, all his brothers, sisters. He would finish reading his book before anybody. So then he realized, okay, I can read. So what he did was to hire a secretary and began to buy books and got highlighters, yellow, blue, red, green. The one that is teamwork in the book, yellow highlighter, leadership, blue highlighter. In one day, he will finish one book and throw it to the secretary. The secretary will combine teamwork under teamwork, leadership under leadership. You know, this one under this one, management under management. In 1 year, they have almost 20 books read it. He said he did not write anyone by himself. He was picking them from book to book and adding them together. The following year, he jumped on the road. He started charging $99 for his conferences. The first one was filled with 1,000 people. That with 1,000 people, $99, that's $99,000 for one meeting already. He said after that meeting, they went to still buy his books that he copied from other people. Nothing new under the heaven. He said apart from that, he told them that, look, if you want to know how I got this knowledge, you can wait behind. Out of about 1,300 left, 700 remain. And he told them that everything I'm teaching you, I got it from the book of Proverbs. You won't understand the book of Proverbs if you don't know Jesus Christ. If you are ready now to give your life to Jesus Christ, raise up your hand. He said half of the congregation, half of the 700 gave their life to Jesus Christ. He said as a pastor, over all the 30 years, 300 people, he doubted whether they gave their life to Christ. He said one meeting, over 300 people gave their life. And he was going from city to city every month. So in the month, over $1 million came in finance. Just because he remembered he could read books. Books. What are you doing with your life? What have you done with all the experiences you've had? What have you done with your bringing and what your parents put inside of you? Listen, I was hearing with Pastor Carter. I'm coming now with a foundation. Africa in American dream. No longer American dream. Africa in America dreams. Because we need to create our own dream. We need to create our own dream. You need to be relevant. You need to position yourself where this system will need you, not that you need this system. You don't want to go to work and you don't know what is going to happen to you next. Because when you are relevant, you know what will happen next. They are even afraid talking to you. I hope you are not leaving us soon. Because you have something to offer. And that doesn't come because of education. Because there are so many educated people out there. It comes because you have a gift that is needed. Are you still listening? I want to challenge you this morning. Look back and note your past failure. Your past failure can bring successes to you. Look at your past, you know, do it this way. If you look at your past, your failure and your successes, you will realize that there is something you have in common. Let me say this very well for you to understand. Look at all the good things you have done in life and think about how did I get it done? And begin to write it down. What were those things that helped me to do it? Take note of all of them. You will realize that there is something that is common in things that you have done well. And you will realize that this is something about me. This is something good about me. And the same way, if you write a situation where you have failed, and you keep writing what brought the failure, why did I fail? And you keep taking note of it, there will be a common denominator too. And you'll be able to find out that if I don't want to fail again, I should stop doing this. Is it making sense to you? So you can always put things down and you realize that every time I succeed, this thing is always part of it. I always see this thing in it. So this must be my success formula. Success formula. And sometimes you may not recognize it. People around you, especially your spouse, will recognize it. That there's something about this when you do it. And I'll share this with you. I had one insurance guy who did life policy for me, did all kind of insurance for me. And he came to me after about 3 years. And he said this to me. He said, Pastor, I have a lot of clients, but there's something about you. You are very consistent. Anything you want to do, you don't change. You keep on doing it. He said, because all my other customers, I have to go after them to pay their subscription, to pay their monthly payment. He said, but for you, for 3 years, the date and the amount has not failed. The guy was a Muslim. So I went to him and I said, I am consistent. Whatever I set out to do, I always do it. How can this help me? to be who I want to be. So I said, okay. What I will begin to do is to set goals for myself every year. Because once I set goals, it means I will achieve it. So every year, I will set goals of what I want to achieve the following year. And I now presume, if I can be so faithful in paying for life policy, with my age, that a lot of people don't want to have life policy, then I can begin to put money aside. I started to save for about 9 years ago. I started by saving $2,000 a month before you knew it. Let me say this to you. Saving is not convenient. Did you hear me? You don't save because it's easy to save. Because a lot of people say, oh, you don't understand my problem. I have this. It's because you don't know the joy of having money you don't need in the account. You don't know the hardship and the stress of you living from hand to mouth. That's why you don't love saving. So I realized that I could start to save and stick with it. And that was how I started, actually, with $1,000. And I did it for 1 year. The following year, I jumped to 2,000. And every year, I would decide, what do I want to do with it? The first year, I bought land. I added to my taxes. I got 17,000 back. So I saved at the tax. My taxes, I also saved here. 17,000 plus about 12,000. I had about 30,000. Land was still cheap then. I bought 3 lands 1 year. The second year, I increased my savings to 2,000. I added my tax. I bought about 5 landed property. I had about 8 landed property. Third year, I increased it by 3 to 4,000. Even the money, I didn't know where it was going to come from. 48,000 with my taxes. I built the first one, 62,000. I sold it for 92,000. I moved that 92,000, moved it to another one, built it for 70,000, sold it for 110,000. Moved it from that one to another one, built it for about 65,000, sold it 120,000. And I began to do it like that. I'm telling you, it works. What are you doing that you know, that you can remember, you can bring it to your present? To be able to hold on to something and make a meaningful life for yourself. Are you getting something this morning? This thing is not rocket science. Don't be making money and be sending it to people. Tie down the money. The Bible says money has wings. It has wings. So as soon as I was saving the money, I was planning on what to do with the money. Not that I just keep it there. Because money without purpose will fly away. And I was tying down the money every year. I was using the money to do something every year. So really, I don't have free money. But I've also discovered I don't have that many needs as I think I have. Listen, when you are blessed, what you wear don't matter to you anymore. It's when you are broke, you want to impress people. That's the reality of things. When you have personal fulfillment, you don't care what people think about you. But when you are frustrated, how people look at you is very important. If people greet you or not, it's important to you. When God has blessed you, if they don't greet you, you will greet them. I'm being honest with you. Why you are a man pleaser? It's because you are not yet blessed. The Bible says the rich have many friends. When God has blessed you, everybody wants to be your friend. You don't lobby to impress people. So I want you to understand that you can do it. Identify something. As you are looking at a new year, what it is that I'm going to use to move my life forward. It's not another increase in salary. Salary that you cannot pass over to your children. If you are dead, your certificate is dead. You can't will your certificate to your children. But if you build something, you can pass it over to your children. I told my children, you can't buy a house on, you can't go and get mortgage. You must buy your house cash. Because I built my own house cash. And I live on 4 acres of land. And I tell people, don't say, pastor, steal your money. We practice what we preach. That's what makes the difference. Whatever I ask you to do, I'm doing it, and it's working. If you do it, it will work for you also. The problem with congregation is they don't do it. And they are murmuring when the pastor is being blessed. Put this thing to work. It's not the hearing of it alone. It's the doing of it. I want you to understand, Christians, your gifts, they are developed if you use them. If you don't use them, they are just there. A lot of people die with their gifts. They die with the gifts. Good gifts, bad habits is a disaster. Good gifts, bad habits, a disaster. Very qualified, but you're always late. Very qualified, very good cook, but you deliver late. Does it make sense to you? Bad habit can destroy the gift. Bad habit. When God has revealed your gift to you, what you can do, you need to accompany it with discipline. Because it does not matter how gifted you are. If nobody can depend on you, your gift is useless. It's useless. So identify those habits that can destroy the gift and stay far away from it. You don't want your gift to be dormant. I want you to understand this as we round up this morning. Because there are some mistakes we make about the gifts God has given to us, the talents we have. Some, especially single people, we are waiting until we get married so God can bless us. So you put so much pressure on your spouse when you get married. Because before you got married, you were useless. You are looking to marry somebody who will make you useful. You begin to make unnecessary demand. Whatever you cannot do when you are single, when you are married, I doubt if you'll be able to achieve it. Otherwise, you'll be pulling somebody back. So I want you to understand that you can't say, when I get married, I'll do this, I'll do that. What are you doing when you are single? What are you doing with your singlehood? What are you doing with your single life? Don't wait until you marry somebody who will bless you. Be a blessing to somebody you are going to marry. Let somebody who will meet you as a husband or as a wife bless God for your life. Not for them to be asking for prayer partners because of you. I want you to note this that I'm about to say. Your passion may not be what your talent or gifts are. Very important. Because you are passionate about somebody, something does not mean that is your gift. Because some of us, we may be passionate about cooking. But that doesn't mean you can sell food. Because there are some people, your good cooking is only for your family. If you take it out there, you will fail. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I've seen people who are passionate about cooking at home and they say, I know what God is calling me to do. I want to open a restaurant. It doesn't work like that. It's better you identify your gift and you become passionate about that gift. Rather than thinking that by being passionate about something, that passion becomes a gift. No. It's a wrong perception. So, Don't be carried away with that. That because I love to sing, now I can wax an album. Or I can be in the choir. No, you can sing when you are praying in your closet. You understand what I'm saying? And God will be glorified. You understand what I'm saying? There are passions you have. They are only to bless you and your immediate family. They don't transform to money. You understand? If you go and sell them, you will lose. That's what I'm saying. You have to understand that one very well. But if you will find a gift and talent and do it passionately, that's what brings money. When you are doing it passionately, it means you are putting your time, you are putting your resources, you are sacrificing to do it, you are able to give up certain things about it. Sometimes you become part-time where you are working so that you can put more effort into it. Then it becomes money. But if you just think you can be passionate about anything and turn it to money, please, it doesn't work like that. Hallelujah. Can we rise?